The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The Lord said, "Woe to you, Pharisees! You pay tithes of mint and of rue and of every garden herb, but you pay no attention to judgment and to love for God. These you should have done without overlooking the others. Woe to you, Pharisees! You love the seat of honor in synagogues and greetings in marketplaces. Woe to you! You are like unseen graves over which people unknowingly walk." Then one of the scholars of the law said to him in reply, "Teacher, by saying this, you are insulting us too." And he said, "Woe also to you, scholars of the law! You impose on people burdens hard to carry, but you yourselves do not lift one finger to touch them." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, welcome back, everybody. You know how it is on a Sunday when you hear the readings read? You've got a first reading, and you've got a second reading, and you've got a gospel reading. But have you ever noticed that when the priest gives his homily, he almost always, 9 times out of 10, he preaches about the gospel reading, or maybe about the first reading, or maybe about the gospel reading and the first reading, but he almost never preaches on the second reading. Just maybe you've noticed that. Maybe you haven't. And if you have, the question might be why. And the answer is that the second reading almost always comes from the letters of St. Paul. And St. Paul is remarkably dense. Paul says more in fewer words than anybody else does in the entire Bible. And the reason why the priest doesn't preach on the entire second reading is because there's too much there. One line of Paul is enough. You can meditate on it, pray about it, and mull over it, and it takes time. You have to let it sink in like the spring rain. Now, the reason why I mention this is because your first reading today comes from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, and you're going to be hearing from Romans every day for about a month. And I thought I'd give you just a little bit of help, a little bit of tools to help you understand what you're hearing, okay? So St. Paul wrote his letter to the Romans for two reasons. Two reasons. First reason was that Paul wanted to use Rome as a base from which he could make missionary journeys to the western side of the Mediterranean Sea, which he'd never done before. You've heard of St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, you've heard of Colossians, you've heard of Ephesians, you've heard of Thessalonians. All these are from the eastern side of the Mediterranean Sea. They're all around the Aegean Sea, but Paul wanted to go to the limits of the known world, and he was going to use Rome as a base. He wanted to go to Spain. He wanted to go to what's now the south of France. He wanted to go to North Africa. Of course, he never made it. He was captured and imprisoned and beheaded. But that was the first reason why he wrote his letter to the Romans. The second was that he wanted to preemptively stop a raging debate in the ancient church before he even arrived. And the debate was this: what puts us on right terms with God? That was what the debate was all about. Because everybody knows what it means to commit a sin. We all know what it means to feel guilty about committing a sin, because we know what it means that God knows the depths of our souls, can see straight through us. He knows what we're made of. There's no hiding from him. There's right, there's wrong, there's justice, there's punishment, and nobody wants to be on the wrong side of God. So what makes us friends with God? What puts us on good terms with God? Well, if you were a Jew, the answer to that was easy. It's keeping the law of Moses. You know, like the Jewish kosher laws and the purity laws and laws like circumcision. Okay, but the debate was, what about people who come into Christianity from being Gentiles? Do they have to go through all that stuff too? Because I got news for you. If you're a grown man in the ancient world and you're a Gentile thinking about becoming a Christian and somebody tells you about circumcision, you might have second thoughts. Okay? You might have second thoughts. So St. Paul says, listen, what puts us on good terms with God is nothing that we've done. It's rather something that God himself
has done. Because God made covenants all down throughout the Old Testament. He made covenant with Adam. He made a covenant with Abraham. God made a covenant with Moses. Were people faithful to these covenants? Never. We constantly were unfaithful to the covenants that God made. So what God did was he made a covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. And he was faithful to it because he knew that we wouldn't be. And then he offers us his faithfulness as a flat-out unmerited gift. And the way that we receive that gift is by faith in Jesus Christ that we put into living practice. That's what Romans is all about. What's Romans all about? It's about this. God doesn't love you because you're good. God loves you because he's good. So now you can hear the first reading maybe makes a little bit more sense. Paul is speaking to Jewish converts to Christianity who are judging and condemning the Gentile converts. And Paul says to them, stop it. Just stop right now. You're no better than they are. Name me one time you've ever been faithful to God's covenant, right? That's the context of the first reading. And it helps to understand the context, but here's the value of Paul. You can understand and appreciate Paul even without understanding the context because he has these great little lines that you think about and you pray about, you know, like the first reading for today. You want to receive mercy from God? Start showing it to other people. The judgment that you extend to somebody else, you're going to get judged by the same yardstick. You can pray about that one all day long. And that's the way you want to understand Paul's letter to the Romans, as you're going to be hearing it, you know, if you come to daily mass, you're going to be hearing it every day for like 4 weeks or something like that, okay? I once told you about how to appreciate the Psalms. And I said, the way to appreciate the Psalms, you just take them one line at a time, and you pray about that line. And if you don't understand something, just skip it. Same applies to Paul. If you don't understand what you're hearing, just let it go off. You water off the back of a duck. If you want to study it, you can study it. You'll learn something more. But what you want to do is latch on to the phrases in Paul that are just beautiful to pray about. Here's one of my favorites. It comes from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. He says, say only the good things people really need to hear, things that will really help them. Tell yourself that all day long before you speak and say something you regret. That's how you, and you pray about it. Here's a pro tip to you about St. Paul's letter to the Romans. You want to find a passage from Romans that you can really pray about? Go to chapter 12. It's nothing but single lines, and you can pray about any of them all day long, and you pray about them for the rest of your life. So here's hoping that that helps you in the weeks to come as you hear St. Paul's letter to the Romans. God doesn't love you because you're good. God loves you because he's good. He made a covenant with us out of love for us. Let's you and I strive to keep it out of love for him. Amen.